This is the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
So we are jumping into this series that we kicked off 2 weeks ago called Hail the King. Betsy, 2 weeks ago, really brought us up to this point where we're going to stand on a platform and launch from today, where we are going to take the next 12 weeks to look at the life of Israel's greatest king, David. And so what we're doing today is we're going to really start at the beginning where every great story starts, and we're going to look at the king who was the first king of Israel. And so if you have a Bible, I hope you do, go ahead and open it up to 1 Samuel chapter 15. It's right at the beginning of your Bible. And so if you are getting into 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Nehemiah, Ezra, Job, you are too far. You must go back to the left to find 1 Samuel chapter 15. And so today we're going to look at this first king. Betsy told us 2 weeks ago that Israel said, we want to be like other nations. We want and we desire a king to rule over us. They missed out on the fact that God is, in fact, our king. But they desired and demanded from Samuel, a prophet, that he would, on behalf of the people, would identify a king that would lead them. And God said, that's not what I want. I am your king. But they said, no. We know what's best for us, God. You don't. Give us a king. And God goes, if that's really what you want, I will give it to you. It'll be a part of, it's not part of my big plan. It's not part of how I designed it to be, but I will give you what you're asking for, and I will give you a king. And so we see leading up to this chapter today, there is this man named Saul that Samuel identifies, and we see from Scripture that he was a good-looking dude, that he was taller than everyone else, he was built, and he was what we would identify. If we saw him walking right now, and we're like, hey, pick out the guy who would be the king, we'd be like, it'd be that dude over there. His name was Saul, King Saul. And so we're going to pick up today in chapter 15. And so today, in the nature of this series, because we're getting through two large books of the Bible over the next 12 weeks, is it will cause us the need to get into Scripture and dig through some things that are a little bit wordier than we normally look at. But here's what I think it does. It gives us a greater context of what we're learning, of what we're hoping God will show us from that as we are walking together throughout this series. And so I hope you're there by now. And what we're going to do is we're going to get through the whole chapter today. But for right now, I want you to focus your eyes and your minds to chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. It says this, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burning and burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen that... than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that as we look to your word, and as we look to the life of Samuel and Saul, and as we look ahead to the life of David, Father, I pray that we would see not men who live, but we would see a reflection of Jesus. That we would see that the best things of these men are the things that are to come in Jesus. And so, Father, as we look to your word, I pray, Lord, that we would see what you want us to see this morning. We would hear what you want us to hear this morning. And Father, it's my prayer that they would not just be empty words that settle in on us, that make us feel good, but Father, words that put us to action, that we would take it out from this place into the places that we will go, that it would draw us closer to Jesus. It would cause our relationship with him to grow. And from that, Father, you would have your will and do incredible things. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. And Father, I thank you that I feel cool air pouring down on us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that for most of you, you know, and for those of you who don't, I'm a dad. I have three children. We have Finley, who's 4 and a half. We have Colton, middle child, almost forgot him. We have Colton, who is 3. I know. And we have Judah, who is right around 1.5 years, not quite. But one of the things we love to do, Emily and I, is bedtime prayers. And one of the things that I love to pray over my children, and I hope that they begin to see and they begin to develop and put into their life, every night I say, Father, I pray that Finley, or I pray that Colton, even this prayer is over Judah, it's a prayer for you, and even a prayer I have in my life. Father, I pray that we would hear you, that we would listen and obey. And I think one of the things that I realize is I want to establish this obedience in my children. I want to just share and develop this obedience in us, myself included, because when we are obedient to what God is calling us to, we are following in his plan. And when we are following in God's plan, we cannot go wrong. We cannot lose when we are following God's plan. But in order to do that, we must listen and obey. Now, Colton has a hard time of this. So does Finley. But Colton, he's in that 3-year-old range, and he's a boy, and so that makes him extra spunky. And he sometimes has a really hard time listening and obeying. Let's be honest. Reasons we don't obey is because we think we have it better planned out. We've got it figured out in a better way than someone else, maybe our parents. Maybe our teachers, maybe our coaches, maybe it's just as we look into God's word, we go, I know that I'm supposed to obey that, but I think I've got it figured out in a better way. But it's my prayer that we, as a group of people, as followers of Jesus, as people maybe who are interested, here's the thing, we every week, we get into this book. We believe that this is the compass for our lives that will guide us and direct us in the ways that we must go to find Jesus. And when we find him, we find that life is fully abundant and it is overflowing. And so we're going to look into this word, and what we see sometimes is some things that we don't necessarily want to do. Sometimes we see that when we read God's word and we see what's happening in God's word, it puts us at war with the world and what's going on around us. But if we listen to God's word and obey it, we find ourselves on his plan for our lives. And that's exactly where we want to be. And so today we look at this account of Saul. And so let's jump in. And it says this in chapter 15, verse 1. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, keep in mind at this point, Saul has been anointed as king. Anointing is a fancy word for a blessing. It's a word that says you've been appointed, you've been selected. He's been anointed, but he's also been established as king. We'll see as we come on, the anointing, the blessing sometimes comes before, you know, God anoints someone, he blesses them, he calls them out before other people realize it, before other people recognize it. And so here's the thing, when you find that you have been called by God, when you've received an anointing, know that everyone may not realize it right away. You have to stay obedient. You have to listen to what God's calling you to and trust that he will take you where you need to go, not always where you want to go. So Saul here is king, and he's ruling over the people of Israel. And this is what Samuel, the prophet, says to him. It says, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. So what Samuel's saying here is he goes, hey, God made you king. And because he made you king, he's got something else he wants to tell you. And you need to follow these directions. Since he has anointed you as king over his people, now therefore listen to these words. Because you are king, listen to what I'm about to tell you, because God has some instruction for you, Saul. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, cattle and donkey. And so what God's doing here is he was reflecting on a previous occurrence. When Moses is leading the Israelites away from captivity in Egypt, they are wandering in the wilderness, and they come up against this nation, Amalek. They're known as the Amalekite people. And so God remembers what they did. They're fleeing, and they give them some resistance. And so God says to Moses, as they're in battle, he goes, hey, we're going to come back here for what they've done. I do not forget when they are living in rebellion against my people and against me. I will not forget this. At some point, I will send the Israelites back to destroy this people because they are in opposition of me. And so he gives them the battle plan. God is giving Samuel these directions to give to Saul to act out as king. It says, so Saul summoned the men and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, go downward from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen for the fattened calves and and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. And so Saul, see, he hears it. He goes, all right, Samuel, I will go out. So what he does is he goes out and he collects his armies, and he says, we are going to go on behalf of God. He gave me directions to go and to wipe out the entire people of Amalek. And so he says, not only that, but we also have to kill all the animals, everything that was their property. We have to devote it to destruction because that's what God has called us to do. So they go into battle, and they find this other group of people, the Kenites. He finds them, and he says, hey, you better get out of here because we're going to devote this. God has devoted this to destruction. And if you don't get out of here, we are going to go and we're going to do what God has called us to do. And if you're in the way, we don't want to kill you, so please leave. And they said they leave because when the Israelites were transitioning and working through the wilderness, they were kind to them. So God says, I don't want you to feel any harm, but we have to come after these people who did harm to us, who was against the name of God. And so as we read on there, we realize that Saul begins to go on this battle plan, and he begins to execute what God has called him to do. He begins to pursue obedience in what God has called him to do. But we see along the way, there's a part where Saul begins to follow his own plan and not God's plan. Because we see here that Agag, the king of the Amalekites, he took him, he captured him, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen of the fattened calves and of the lambs and all that was good. They saved that back. They did not follow in obedience what God's plan was for Saul and for the Israelites. They're beginning to drift from obedience. Verse 10, it says, the word of the Lord now comes to Samuel. He says, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried for the Lord all night. You ever been there where you talk to a friend or a family member and you realize they go, hey, you hear maybe through other people or maybe they themselves confide in you and they go, hey, here's what I did. And you go, like in your heart, you're like, man, you blew it. You had an opportunity and you blew it. Like you knew what you needed to do. And have you ever been in that moment where you wanted it so bad for someone else and they came back and they told you, hey, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I failed. I didn't go about it in the ways that I should have gone about it. And they fail and you feel the weight of that. yourself. Samuel is in this position. He wants to see Saul be incredibly successful. He wants to see him achieve all of the things that God wants for him. And so he wants it for him so bad. But Saul finds himself in a position where he goes out and he does not follow in obedience what God has called him to do. And so God comes to Samuel. He says, hey, he says this. He goes, I regret that I have ever made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments. God says, hey, this guy that was established as king that the Israelites wanted, he has failed. He is not following me. His heart is not for me. It is for himself and himself alone. It says, and Samuel was angry and he cried to the Lord all night. So he's crying out to the Lord all night. So I imagine the next morning when he wakes up and he says, and Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told to Samuel, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. I'm going to read that again. Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. He was going to meet Saul where he was supposed to be, where he intended for him to be. And it was told to Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed and went on down to Gilgal. Notice, as Samuel's trying to look for him, to confront him for being disobedient, to call him to action, he goes where he's expecting him to be, and when he gets there, he finds that Saul is not where he's supposed to be. He talks to some people, and some people begin to go, oh yeah, he wasn't here. He went over to Carmel, and he set up a monument for himself. So here's what Saul did. He went into battle. He was going in. He was obedient. And then there comes a moment where it gets difficult, where he sees the king and he sees like the good-looking livestock, the stuff that could be beneficial to him and to his kingdom. And he goes, you know what? We're going to kill off all the sickly, all the disease. We're going to kill those things, but we're going to save the pristine cattle and the rams and all those. And we're going to hold back the king of the Amalekites. So he goes and he wins this victory. They've captured the king. And he goes, you know what? I did a pretty awesome job. I did what I was called to. God called me in. I'm the king of Israel. I'm the man. We went in there and we took care of business. We got it done. And what Saul does is he goes, I'm going to go build a monument for myself to talk about my victory that I just had in battle. And we get there sometimes, students, where we know what God has called us to do. We know what we're supposed to do. If we're pursuing Jesus, we know exactly what it is that we're supposed to do. There are times where we know what it looks like to be obedient in our lives as we pursue Jesus. And we go about it, but all of a sudden there's an opportunity that comes up, something that seems attractive to us, something that is maybe not part of God's plan, but something that we want. And so we begin to pursue disobedience, and we attain these things and we achieve these things, but we're going about it the wrong way. And when the battle is over, when we've won the game, or when we've gotten the boyfriend or the girlfriend, or when we've found ourselves surrounded by those people that we've really wanted to be surrounded by, we step back and we go, this was my victory. I'm going to give myself the praise and the honor and the glory that I in fact deserve. And that's where Saul finds himself. He goes and he builds up this monument and says, look, this is for the victory that I won. And here's the thing, students. When we get there and we find ourselves there, because I believe at this moment Israel's like, yes, we asked for a king. We got what we wanted. And look what he's doing. It's just unbelievable. And did you see that that livestock that he brought back? Those were beautiful cows. Holy smokes. Hey, did you see what he did? No. He didn't kill the king. He captured him. And they're probably cheering for him. And he's like, yeah, I'm the man. Yeah, I'm going to build a monument for myself. Look what I have done. And we forget that it really wasn't us. If we're following God's plan for our lives, what we realize is we can't take any credit for it. Now, when we can take credit for it, is when we don't really want to. When we follow God for a little bit and we start to go, you know what? I'm going to go over here. I'm not going to be fully obedient. I'm going to be a little bit off. I'm going to be like 80% obedient. I know God has called me to X, Y, and Z. And so I'm going to follow that and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do 80% of it. And here's the thing I want you to know this morning, students. This is a thing that you need to know and that I need to know in my life, and we all must remember. If you are 99% obedient, you are fully disobedient. If you are 99% obedient, you are fully disobedient. You are not following the directions that I gave you. That's what God says. That's what I say to Colden. You are not following the directions that I gave you. You must be 100% obedient. Follow exactly what God has called for you and from you in your life. You must be 100% obedient, because that's where Saul finds himself, where he looks back and he goes, you know, I pretty much did everything that God asked me to do. Pretty much is never, I did exactly what God called me to. And so now he's starting to praise himself. And that, students, you can build a monument for yourself when you're disobedient, because it was all you. God doesn't have a place in your disobedience. It's the absence of following what God's calling you to do. In engaging in sin, you are engaging in things that are not of God. When you are disobedient, you're engaging in those things. And so Saul finds himself in this position. And Samuel's confused because he goes, I know I told you what to do. I've heard from God. And so he goes to find him at this place called Gilgal, where a lot of the times it was a holy place. It was a place where oftentimes people would go to build and erect monuments for God for what he has done in their lives. But the problem was, Saul was disobedient. Then he gave himself credit before he gave God credit. He's continuing to engage in this disobedience. And so we see this interaction. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. This is that moment where mom and dad check in with you, or maybe a small group leader checks in with you. They go, hey, how's that? I know that you were really wanting to try and avoid relationships, intimate relationships with those people. I know that you were really trying to avoid the internet after your parents went to bed. I know that you were really trying to avoid. I know that last week you told me that you were going to break up with that person because that's the kind of relationship that you should not be a part of. I know that this week that you told me that you were going to do X, Y, and Z. How is that going? And you look back and you go, you know what? 80% was good. And you're like, it was awesome. I stopped looking at pornography and I broke up with him or her. And, you know, it's going great. And, you know, I stopped lying to my parents this week. I was honest with them. And in the back of your mind, you're going, you know what? I was honest with them about 80% of the time. And, you know, I guess on Tuesday night, I did fall into pornography again. Or, you know what? We broke up, but then we got right back together again because I listened to that Taylor Swift song and it reminded me how much I like him. Whatever it was, where we find ourselves, where we're 80% or 99% obedient, and someone checks in with us. They go, how's that going? You go, it's great. It's absolutely great. And Saul knows exactly what's happening here. He's trying to move a fast one on Samuel because he knows that Samuel is the guy that established him, and the people of Israel look up to King Saul, but they also look up to the prophet Samuel. And he goes, I need this guy on my side, and if he knows the truth about me, it might not be good. I may lose his influence, and the people may begin to reject me for that. So he said, blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He takes his disobedience, takes his pride, takes his sinful behaviors, and what he does is he knows that that's really what's going on. And when Samuel calls him to accountability, when he calls him and says, what's going on? Saul sins to cover up more sin. He's dishonest with him. He misleads him. He goes, it's good. He goes, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. In verse 14, it says this, and Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear? This is the moment where Saul goes, uh-oh. Samuel really knows what's going on in my life. Samuel goes, well, if it's so great, how do I hear this How do I hear the sounds of sheep and cattle? Because I know that God called you to destroy those things. What's these things that I'm hearing? And I believe that like it's like that moment where it's like, hey, man, it was awesome. We killed all the sheep and we killed all the cattle just like God told us to. And then all of a sudden it's like, meh. He's like, what was that? And Samuel goes, why do I hear that? If you're telling me you followed the commandments of God, why is it that I hear, maybe even see, that you were disobedient? Samuel said, what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. And so he goes, well, no, here's what happened. It wasn't me, it was the people. They were the ones who said, hey, Saul, can I keep this one? I named him Ed. Can I take him home with me? This is my, like, we were going in there, and I kind of, my family is, like, looking for a sheep, and this one fits it perfectly. Saul, what do you think? And Saul, as a leader, should have said, no. You know what the expectation is from God? We're going to slaughter all of the possessions and the people and the property of the Amalekites. But he softens. And it says this in verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. It's that moment where it's like, I can't even just stop talking. Because I know exactly what's going on, and I need to tell you what God told me last night. And it says that Saul says to him, he says, speak. Let me know what God told you last night. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of all the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord? Samuel's saying, hey, why didn't you do what God told you to do? He goes, do you not realize who you are? I love how he says this. He goes, though you are little in your own eyes, students, know this. Students, I want your eyes on me, because if you don't hear anything else, I need you to hear this morning. Whether you believe in Jesus, whether you're engaged in a relationship with Jesus, whether this is your first time here and you're like, I don't even know who Jesus is. Here's what I want you to know today. You have influence in the lives of other people around you. You have influence in the lives of other people around you. You have influence in your siblings, whether they're older or whether they're younger. If you are a junior or a senior in this room, there are sophomores and freshmen that look up to you, and you may not even understand or know their name. You have influence in people's lives. They look up to you. They look to you to understand how they should act, how they should wear, how they should dress, how they should drive, what music they should listen to, how they should spend their free time, what a relationship looks like with friends, how a healthy relationship looks like with friends, what a relationship looks like with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, how to treat mom and dad, how to treat younger siblings or older siblings. You have influence in your life with other people. Do not be so little in your own eyes. Understand that you, students, have influence. And that's what Samuel is saying to Saul. He goes, know that you have incredible influence, Saul. You are the king of Israel. When you act, people see how they are supposed to act. Students, when you act, your friends and your family and your siblings and your teammates, they understand how they should act based on how you act. Whether or not you believe, you have influence. I know there's a lot of younger siblings in here with older siblings in here. Older siblings, you may clash with them all day long, but at the end of the day, they look up to you. One of the worst relationships I had in high school was the relationship that I had with my older sister. But every morning, I walked into a room and said, hey, sis, does this look okay? Am I going to get made fun of? And she helped me. We clashed all the time. But when she walked through the hallways, I saw how she interacted with her friends, and I go, okay, that's how it's supposed to look. Younger siblings, whether you like to admit it or not, you know that that's true. You look up to your older siblings. Older siblings, do not miss
the influence that you have. Do not think so little of yourself that you think my actions influence me and only me, and so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Know that your actions will influence others. That's what Samuel's saying to Saul. And he goes, why didn't you do what God called you to do? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen and the best things to devote to destruction, to sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Saul has now followed his own way so much that he's believing that he has been obedient to God. Samuel's saying, you're missing it. And then Samuel comes to this point. He says, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? He's saying, yes, when we offer up sacrifices, Saul says, I know that I didn't, I followed his instruction. I was obedient. And I've brought these things back to now offer a sacrifice to God. He allows some doctrine. He allows what we're supposed to do as believers. Now, doctrine is overpowering obedience because God called him to do something specific. But he goes, no. This all the best stuff? No, those aren't to be devoted to destruction. Those are to be devoted to sacrifice. I'm not going to break up with them. I am going to be the one who shows them who Jesus is. We've been there before. No, I'm going to show them. I'm going to lead them to who Jesus is through our relationship. I know that we're supposed to break up, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead them to Jesus. I'm not going to be obedient to this because I'm going to I don't need to devote this relationship. I don't need to destroy this relationship. What I'm going to do is I'm going to redeem it, and I am going to show them who Jesus is and offer that up. Offer this relationship as a sacrifice. We get into these rhythms. And Samuel says, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice? It's a rhetorical statement. He goes, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, he goes, which one's better? To offer up burnt sacrifices or to obey the Lord? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of divination, and presumption is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king. And at this moment, Saul realizes that he has lost the favor of God, the one who anointed him and called him to be king, because he was not obedient. It says this, verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. This is one of those, well, duh moments. Samuel goes, I heard from God that you did these things. He's not lying to me. He calls him out and he continues to come to this place where he goes, no, it wasn't like that. You know, Samuel, what I need you to understand is it's this, and the relationship's good, and I don't really wander into the places of the internet that I'm not supposed to. And, you know, when I lie to my parents, it's to keep them from the pain of the truth. And we get into these moments where we begin to lie and we begin to spiral out of control, and we find ourselves in a place where we start to believe our own lies. And we find ourselves walking away from the obedience of God. And so he finds himself here and he says, you know what? I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Students, everyone who is not engaged in a relationship with Jesus, this world and all the things in it, want you to do the exact opposite of what God is calling you to do in your life. And your friends, in media, and entertainment, and every outlet that's out there will tell you that you are uncool and that you will never fit in and that you are not enough because their standards you're not living up to. Saul says, the reason I was disobedient is because the people, the most influential man in all of Israel at this time, now found himself influenced by those who he was influencing. And so often we do this because we don't want to lose our image. We want to be known as the cool kid or the athlete or the influential person who never makes a mistake. And we it's constantly self-feeding where we try and keep up this status and people come up to us and they go, hey, do this thing or try this or hang out or whatever it might be. And you find yourself in this position where you go, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I don't want to lose the influence in their life. And instead of doing what you know God is calling you to do, you follow them and you try and keep them appeased. And as a result, you lead your life into a layer of disobedience and you go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's where Saul finds himself. He says, I have sinned for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He says, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may bow before the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned to go away, but Saul seized the skirt of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret from he is not a man that he should have regret. Then he said, I have sinned. This is Saul. I have sinned. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. And Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul bowed before the Lord. He's saying this. He goes, Samuel, if I've lost the favor of God, I don't stand a chance without you in it. Can you please uphold my reputation? If you walk away from me now and I go back to Israel alone, I am fully finished. The people will fully reject me and there is no hope for me whatsoever. And Samuel says, I can't do it. And he turns and Saul reaches out and grabs his robe and it tears. And God gives us this symbol of Saul losing his kingship, the anointing. Is he still king by the decree of the people? Yes, but he has lost the favor of God. And here's what it comes down to, students. The reason he loses this is it is a heart issue. Saul is more concerned with himself. He is more concerned with his reputation. He is more concerned with his status than he is in his relationship with God. As we look to the life of David, we will see that David is a guy who blew it time and time and time again. But the difference between Saul and David is that Saul was only focused on himself and him and his own reputation. But David, as we will see, as he was a man who, when he was made aware of his sins, he said, I am so sorry. Immediately, he fell to his knees and he repented. He said, Lord, help me figure this one out. I have blown it. But Saul, the first king of Israel, finds himself saying, it is all about me. So Samuel consents. He says, I will go back with you. And says this, 32. Samuel said, bring me back Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as your sword has made woman childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. What he said is, he goes, Saul, I now have to finish what God sent you to do. Because you were disobedient, I now have to do something that was not mine, but I now must take on the direction that God gave you, and I must fulfill that. And he finds the king of the Amalekites, Agag, standing before him, and Agag's like, you know what? This is awesome. And at that moment, probably Agag is saying, Saul, good job, man. You didn't do what God, but I'm good. Hey, we're good. And you'll find friends that are like that. Hey, I know that you got in trouble with your parents last night, but forget them. Hey, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't understand what it's like to be 16, 17, 18 years old. Hey, that relationship, just squash it. You need to be good with your parents. Keep fighting with them. Keep creating drama. We find this so often where the world is saying, no, you're doing the right thing when we are confident that we know we're not doing what God has called us to do. And Samuel finds himself saying, I have to finish what you refused to finish. What was never mine, I now must take on it because I cannot allow myself to understand what God has called us to do. I can't stand back. I have to finish what you would not obediently finish in your life. It says this, and then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Geba of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death.
But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. It comes back to obedience. It's a heart issue. Are you choosing to follow Jesus for real? Are you convinced that you need to be obedient to his plan, even though the world around you is telling you not to? Students, we must follow through. We must listen and fully obey. We must follow what God has called on our lives down to the T. We must dot every I and cross every T and be 100% in obedience with God. Because when we do that, we then experience God's best for our lives. We can never expect God's best for our life if we're not being fully obedient to him. As we look to Saul, it cost him his kingship. And as we look into the next couple weeks, he will be constantly looking over his shoulder. He will be constantly in fear. He will constantly be running, fearing for his life and for his kingship because he lost the favor of God. Because God realized that Saul was only concerned with himself. He's more worried about himself and his favor and his influence than he was about being obedient to God. So my challenge for you this morning, students, is listen. Listen to what God is calling you to do. Understand, say, God, help me to see what you're calling from me. Help me to see and understand what you want from me in my life. You want me to step up? You want me to get more involved? You want me to begin to engage my friends and openly talk about the relationship with I have with you? God, do you understand how hard that's going to be? And God's saying, yes, but I don't think you understand what I have planned from that interaction. I was talking with a student this week about how I want to just blow this room out with students, not to make GSM bigger, not to make the chapel bigger, but to give students an opportunity to understand and to meet Jesus. I was talking with a student this week, and I said, hey, I met a student from your school. And I really think, as I interacted with them in a very small way, I think that they could really benefit from the local church. I would love for you to find a way to invite them to be a part of GSM. If they're not already involved in a church. If they are, tell them, encourage them, tell them, great job. Keep going. Keep growing in relationship with Jesus. But I said to this student, I said, I want you to find a way to just invite them. So this student was like, well, what do I say? So we talked through it and walked through it. And they reached out to this other student and made an invite. Said, hey, I think our church is a pretty cool place. I really like it. There's other students from our school here. I think you would like it. You know, maybe you can like use some of the gifts that you have in this place, maybe a place where you can just serve and enjoy it. And the student said, that sounds like a cool place. I'd like to maybe check that out sometime. And that comes from the obedience. Not of a leader, but of God. God has called us to reach out to those who are lost. He's called us to reach out to those who are not understanding, who are not aware of a relationship with Jesus, and to just invite them to be a part of a community where people care about them, where they feel welcome and they feel wanted, with the hopes of pointing them to who Jesus is. And so here's the thing, whether that student said yes or no, I believe the act of obedience is all that we need to do. All that we need to do is be obedient and then trust that God in his power, through the power of his son and his victory over death and through the power of the Holy Spirit will somehow reach out to that student or to that mom or to that dad or to that aunt or to that uncle or to that sibling and say to them, hey, maybe you should go be a part of the local church. But we must act out in obedience. When we're called to something, we must be obedient. We must follow through on the directions that God's giving us. And when we do that, we can expect God's best in our lives. Not what we want, but the best plan he has for us and for those around us, because we know we are being obedient to what he has called us to do. We can experience God's best for our lives and for the lives of those around us.
students, follow through. Listen, listen, and obey. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for these men and women from the Bible that you show us as examples, Father, that remind us of ourselves sometimes. But Father, I thank you from that, that we can see how we should respond. Whether we are currently responding in the right way or we need to change our ways and come back to you and follow in 100% obedience. Father, help us. Father, put people in our lives who are going to call us out. Put Samuels in our lives who's going to call us and say, hey, what are you doing here? Help me see it. Help me guide you through this. God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you have promised that when we come to you seeking forgiveness, that you will give it to us. We just must come to the cross and we must come to your feet. We must come to you in prayer and just say, Lord, I've blown it again. Change my heart. Change my life. Help me to pursue obedience. God, thanks for your love. Thanks for being our Heavenly Father who's always looking down at us saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I will forgive you. Please just come to me. Thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being that kind of Father. Thank you for your love.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.